This is Brother Peter Diamond, VaticanCatholic.com. I wanted to talk about the biblical proof that the Holy Spirit is God. When we talk about the Trinity and the deity of the Holy Spirit / Holy Ghost, the first point to realize is that faith in the Trinity, one God in three divine persons, is understood by the authors of the New Testament. Faith in the Trinity actually runs like a stream throughout the New Testament. Even though passages in the New Testament which express the truth of the Trinity are not formulated in the same way that a dogmatic definition would be, they clearly convey the truth of the Trinity. In considering the following verses, notice the reference to God / the Father, the Lord / the Son / Christ, and the Spirit. We repeatedly see references to God in the context of the three, God, the Lord, and the Spirit, or the Father, the Lord, and the Spirit. They are presented together, for they are three divine persons, one God. Here are just a few examples. 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Notice the Lord, God, and the Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Notice God, the Lord, and the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:4-6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone it is the same God. Once again, God, the Lord, and the Spirit. In Romans 15:16, we see the same thing. Christ Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians 2:18, it says, quote, for through him, Jesus Christ, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit, end quote. Once again, the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit. There is abundant and overwhelming evidence that the Father is God and that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, is also God. However, many are unfamiliar with the biblical proof that the Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus tells the apostles to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit share one name because they are one God, even though they are distinct persons. The Old Testament name of God, which is frequently pronounced Yahweh or Jehovah, was considered uniquely holy. To attribute that name to someone or something that is not God would be blasphemy. But in Matthew 28:19, we see that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit share one name. That could only be true if the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, while distinct persons, are one God. In Acts 5, we see another clear proof that the Holy Spirit is God. Peter said to Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? He goes on to say, what made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. Peter says that Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit. He emphasizes the point by saying that you have not lied to men, but to God. Lying to the Holy Spirit is lying to God, because the Holy Spirit is God. In John 3, we read that you must be born of water and the Spirit. Contrary to the belief of some, this is an obvious reference to water baptism. In John 3:8, this rebirth of water and the Spirit is described by Jesus as being born of the Spirit. Yet in 1 John, the first epistle of John, this spiritual rebirth is described as being, quote, born of God. So, born of the Spirit is born of God, because the Spirit is God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we read that all Scripture is inspired by God. Quote, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Yet, in 2 Peter 1:21, we read that the prophets spoke because they were inspired or moved by the Holy Spirit. Inspired by God is inspired by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, we read that a justified person's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, we read that a justified person's body is God's temple. The temple of the Holy Spirit is the temple of God, because the Holy Spirit is God. In Hebrews 10, we find just one of numerous identifications of the Holy Spirit as Yahweh, Almighty God. We are presented with a quote of Almighty God's words in Jeremiah. and we are told that those words of Yahweh are the words of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 10:15 to 17, quote, "The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." The words attributed to the Holy Spirit here in Hebrews 10:15 to 17 were the words of Yahweh, Almighty God, in Jeremiah 31:34. Quote, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, Almighty God, for I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more." End quote. That language is quoted in Hebrews 10:15 to 17, and it's attributed to the Holy Spirit. The fact that Hebrews 10:15 to 17 declares that Almighty God's words in Jeremiah were actually spoken by the Holy Spirit demonstrates that the Holy Spirit is also Yahweh, Almighty God. Hebrews 1:8 to 12, by the way, also applies the unique and divine attributes of Yahweh, Almighty God, described in Psalm 102:25 to 27, to Jesus Christ. This demonstrates that Jesus Christ is also Yahweh, as we covered in the video, Quick Refutation of Jehovah's Witnesses. There is indeed abundant proof for this in the New Testament. There are many other biblical proofs that the Holy Spirit is God, but we must now demonstrate that the Holy Spirit is a person, not just a force. The Holy Spirit is a divine person, not just an impersonal force. Jehovah's Witnesses and some others who reject the Trinity believe that the Holy Spirit is not a divine person, but simply God's force. This is disproven by many passages. In Acts 13:2, the Holy Spirit says that Barnabas and Saul should be set apart for me for the work to which I have called them. The Holy Spirit applies the personal pronouns me and I to himself. Impersonal forces do not speak and apply personal pronouns to themselves. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, we see that the Spirit divides spiritual gifts as he wills, dividing to everyone according as he will. This proves that the Spirit has volitional power, a will. An impersonal force doesn't have a will. The Holy Spirit is therefore a divine person. Other proofs that the Holy Spirit is a divine person and not just a force include the Holy Spirit searches all things, 1 Corinthians 2:10. He forbids people from going places, Acts 16:6. He repeatedly speaks, Acts 8:29. He appoints, Acts 20:28, etc. It's interesting that the Jehovah's Witnesses state on their website that, quote, "God is much more than a powerful force. The Bible says that he has feelings, such as love and hate," end quote. They fail to recognize that the Holy Spirit has feelings. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit can be grieved, blasphemed, and insulted. Ephesians 4:30, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." Matthew 12, "The blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven." Hebrews 10:29, "Who has insulted the Spirit of grace?" It's obvious from the non-Trinitarian's own criteria that the Holy Spirit is God and a person. The Holy Spirit is a divine person distinct from the Father and the Son. The heresy of modalism or Sabellianism holds that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are not three distinct and divine persons, but simply three different appearances or modes of one God. It's crucial to understand that there is one God in three distinct persons, with each person individually being God, yet there is only one God. That's the truth and the mystery of the Trinity. The Son is not just a different appearance of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is not just a different appearance of the Father or the Son. The three persons have different relationships within the Trinity as well. The New Testament is filled with proofs that the Father and the Son are distinct persons. It's equally clear about the distinction of the Holy Spirit. The following passage from St. John's Gospel suffices to prove the distinction between all three divine persons. John 14:16 to 17 and 26. Quote, "And I, Jesus, will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things." In the bolded portion of this passage, we clearly see that the Holy Spirit is another counselor. We also see that Jesus, a distinct person, will ask the Father, a distinct person, to give the Spirit, a distinct person, and another counselor to them. Conclusion. There is no doubt that the Bible teaches that 1. The Holy Spirit is God. 2. The Holy Spirit is a divine person, not just a force. and 3, the Holy Spirit is a divine person distinct from the Father and the Son. As stated at the beginning of this video, the truth and the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity is not hidden, muted, or downplayed in the New Testament. No, it runs like a stream throughout its pages. 1 Peter 1:1-2. To God's elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and sprinkling by His blood. End quote. Recognizing that faith in Father, Son, and Spirit, one God and three divine persons, is the very foundation of the apostolic faith presented on the pages of the New Testament, should give people a special reverence each time they say, in the name of the one and only true God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.